Imagine that this is your daughter.
What do you want?
Now you get to decide how this scene ends. Or...
Stop, Earl!
Some misinformed people want to take away your daughter's choice between rape and self-defense. We're pro-choice on self-defense. Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. JPFO.org.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Edition of what I call American Exposé. This is Chris Gerner speaking to you on the 17th of May, moving along into June, and more harmonization. Certainly Dennis on the website, AmericanExposé.com, has connected many dots. I connected some of those dots on the broadcast that I do on WBCQ at 3 to 4, thanks to Melody Cederstrom and Discount Gold and Silver Trading, from 3 to 4 on WBCQ, 7.415. Then at 7 p.m. Central Time, we are on WWCR 7.465, and I connected more harmonization with Dennis's information, and I certainly appreciate this. The working together, the staff working together to make things happen and to get the information to you, the listeners, most important. One of you good people sent me an email regarding the Dread weapon system. Devastating, jam-proof, and silent, they say. No heat, no recoil, no sound, no gunpowder, no flash. Just 120,000 rounds per minute of pulverizing power. The next generation of weapon systems has arrived. The Dread centrifuge-powered weapon system, linked to Monday. And most important information on the website. Many new additions that you need to connect to, listeners. Also, the CIA World Factbook is on the permanent directions under the Hegelian dialectic at the top of the website next to the partner sites. The CIA World Factbook, the CIA monitors every country in the world. their population, the compliance with United Nations treaties. The Central Intelligence Agency is paramount in monitoring every country in the entire globe system, listeners. And what are we wrapped up into but a global system, a global governance? As I've said before, our global neighborhood, the report of the Commission on Global Governance with Joan Vions, the United Nations Global Straitjacket, two companion books that will give the big picture to anyone that wants to understand what's going on. I suggest if you want to wake someone up, get the book, Our Global Neighborhood, from the UN system. Get the book, The Global Straitjacket, from Joan Vion. Give those as gifts to people. And, you know, that's the way to get things together. Now, understanding what's happening is very, very concerning to me. And I have a guest tonight, Hans Molina. Hans, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Fine,
thank you very, very, very much for joining me tonight. And certainly you say something here. Some will say that communism has collapsed. Some will call anti-communists a people of the past with no grasp of reality and no understanding of the politics and geopolitical developments. Now, you make this statement, and yet where do you come from? What's your background? And kind of elaborate a little bit about yourself before we can continue with the broadcast.
Okay. Well, I was born in the communist Czechoslovakia.
What year?
In 1966. And I grew up in a family that was anti-communist, and we were landowners, communists, robbed by our family of all the land we owned. That was done before I was born. Basically, I had to serve in the Czechoslovak Communist Air Force for 2 years. I seen things that had happened over there, and finally I decided I want to leave. That was in 1988. I defected through Yugoslavia. I was lucky to get a Spanish visa. I got through Spain and to the United States, applied for an immigration visa, and I probably became a U.S. citizen. I went back, obviously, after the so-called collapse of communism, and I noticed that the communists were never punished for their crimes against the people. There were never any trials. People were not called to justice. Actually, as a matter of fact, the old guard was basically... There was law that was passed by the new regime that prevented any kind of lawsuit against the hardline communists. So they are pretty much free people. The way these collapse of communism happened in Eastern Europe are very significant, and I started looking into it because obviously I was concerned because I live here in America. I'm a U.S. citizen. I want to inform people about what really happened. And so, not that I really wanted to get involved as a part of my vocation, but I really had to do it based on the principle that these people are lying to us, and the finger, whoever set it up, it points to Moscow. That's pretty much a fact, and I can substantiate with facts and data.
In other words, Russia and Moscow, in your opinion, is still our enemy?
Absolutely. They regard us as the enemy number one. I don't even know where to begin. I got so much data. Let me quickly read just one thing that I did interview with Mr. Sibulka. He was a political prisoner in Czechoslovakia. Interview was was published here in the United States, and I asked him about the collapse of communism, how he sees it, and he says, "I don't know what the collapse of communism looks like from the American point of view, but from the painful experience of the citizens of all the post-communist countries, the collapse of communism is a pure fiction. Communists and their at the same time, they are making sure that their own power and military strength remain untouched. From this position, communists can dictate to the West their evil conception of a world communist order. The West can accept this the easy way or the hard way. Mr. Sibulka was a political prisoner during the communist era, and then he started publishing after the so-called collapse. He was able to gather some people and start publishing a newspaper in Czech Republic called Uncensored News. The newspaper was quickly infiltrated by communist agents, and through distribution problems and all that, because the newspaper was publishing truth about the collapse, so fraud, they basically made it, they helped it to go bankrupt, basically through distribution problems, which they controlled the distribution over there. So Mr. Sobolka was not that efficient in reporting what really happened. I can pretty much say that when we look at Moscow, when we look at these former communists, what they do nowadays, how they supply terrorist nations with missiles and weaponry, and how they are united again, and I say the again, quote-unquote, with the communists from China, we have one big block of communist power that's facing us, and of course we have to include North Korea and all these terrorist nations like Syria, Libya, and other nations that are involved, including Iran, which Russia supplies with uranium. There are several questions about Russia that we have to ask, and we have to go back and see if that the collapse of communism was really truly set up. And I'm saying it was fraudulent, and it's a major fraud which the communists were preparing for over 30 years.
I see. So obviously, in your mind, communism never collapsed.
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, they set up a system of government over there, particularly in the Czech Republic, that the parliamentary parties control the political power, and those are all former communists or communist agents. And the system, the electoral system, is set up that no genuine political party can ever enter the parliament, because they have to get, for the 200-seat parliament in Czech Republic, the non-parliamentary political party has to have 10 times more votes. That's the matter of law. That's a law. So instead of 0.5% for one seat, they have to have 5% of votes for one seat. Of course, this is totally discriminatory. There are other details. The media, for example, all in the hands of former communists, all controlled. You don't get any genuine information out of there. So, and I've seen it firsthand, because I went back and forth several times, and through my contacts over there, and through my research, I can pretty much substantiate what I'm saying here. It's all provable.
I see. Now, I'm looking at yesterday's newspaper. It's the Oklahoman, and it states here, Rice tells Iraqis to hurry. Under heavy guard, on a surprise visit Sunday, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said Iraq's new government realizes it must move quickly to write a new constitution that reflects the full spectrum of ethnic and religious groups. Condoleezza Rice, as we all know, is the new Secretary of State of the State Department. What is your knowledge of Condoleezza Rice, if at all?
Well, I did research on Condoleezza Rice because I was obviously interested. Why is it that she's preferring Russia so much? I find out, and this is missing in her official White House biography for some reason. I find out, and this was published by the Times of London, by very good newspaper, that she was in fact studying in Russia, in Soviet Union, in 1978. This was confirmed to me by a person that's involved with her teacher, that when Condoleezza Rice, her family lived in Alabama, they moved to Denver, where she studied. She started studying at the Denver University. And her language and Czech language, which she speaks fluently. And so I have it confirmed from these sources that, in fact, she was in Russia in 1978, which is highly questionable, because during those times, because we all know about the recruiting tactics and all that. I'm not saying that Condoleezza Rice has been recruited, but I'm honestly concerned about her statements about Russia. If I may, about Joseph Corbell. Joseph Corbell, father of Madeleine Albright, was a high-level Czechoslovak diplomat during the World War II, I'm sorry. And in 1943, he persuaded then-president of Czechoslovakia to leave London when Nazis occupied Czechoslovakia. The whole government had to move to London, to Britain. And so the delegation, Czechoslovak delegation, went to Moscow to Stalin and signed an agreement for 20 years, agreement of friendship of cooperation. And Joseph Corbell was the one who set it all up. So we're talking about democratic Czechoslovakia signing agreement with communist tyrant and murderer Stalin, and Madeleine Albright's father was the one who set it all up. That's also very much questionable, and it's a red flag to me. Of course, Corbell, interestingly enough, during the 70s, he was all for the detente with the Soviet Union. America's detente with the Soviet Union, that's also very highly questionable. So, of course, we have to be concerned about who Condoleezza Rice is, and why is she promoting a good relationship with Russia when the Russians are clearly stabbing us in the back.
There's the situation. Most people don't realize this, and this is our big dilemma at this point in time, because certainly... according to Norman Dodd, who was interviewing H. Rowan Gaither, and he was the president of the Ford Foundation back in 1954, and there was a congressional commission called the Reese Commission in 1954, and apparently Rowan Gaither stated, "All of us here at the policy-making level have had experience with directives from the White House. The substance of them is that we shall use our grant-making power so as to alter our life in the United States that we can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union." Do you think that's the process that's going on now, that we're being comfortably merged with Russia?
Well, I don't know how much this will actually happen. What I think is happening, that there's a lot of useful idiots, so-called, in our government that think that that this will actually create some kind of superpower. Of course, such people, through their contacts with the Russian counterparts, because you can understand that since we know that the communism never collapsed, that the recruitment of spies continues. And As a matter of fact, I have a very good document of the recruitment tactics and how they're actually doing it. There was a policy for the Czechoslovak Communist government and the espionage services. And let me just one quick paragraph here how they do it. It says, "The recruiter has to achieve in a very short period of time that the new recruit will compromise himself by supplying data of interest. The moment of surprise and psychological pressure is used also during the first contact for the recruitment purposes. It is essential to double-check all the information regarding the proposed subject of cooperation of the person of interest, including questions about subjects, biography, and character. Before the recruitment is complete, the directing office is directly verifying the strength of the subject's cooperation motives and is gradually luring the subject into making information and documents available to us, in which moment the subject is fully compromised." And this is a matter of policy. So there are facts regarding how they actually did. All you have to do is get in contact with these people. The recruitment was basically done through supplying various various things, including the drugs, prostitutes. There were tactics abused. So this is nothing new. I'm very much concerned about our government in the sense that I know that the Russians would just not stop recruiting people, and they would continue and increase their operations to get a lot of people compromised. And when you look at the policies towards Russia today, I can't question our CIA and our FBI. How come there is no concern on part of these people towards Russia and what Russia does regarding supplying various advanced weaponry to China and Syria, sale of missiles to Syria, sale of uranium to Iran, and all these other things? How come this is not reported? How come this is not dealt with? How come we are such a dupes in the sense that we call Russia our strategic partner? All of this has to have some kind of background, and so, yes, of course, I am very much concerned about this.
Let me ask you, wasn't the KGB dissolved? Or did they just change their name?
Absolutely not. It never happened. As a matter of fact, I have an article that was published in Czech Republic in 1993, I think. The title was KGB Finally Talks. And from the it says right there that the KGB admits that they set up all these Eastern European revolutions, and they were actually proud of it. They were behind all of that. And in fact, from 50,000 high-level staff officers, the high-level officers, they admit that only 56 were let go, retired basically, that was because of their age. So all these hardline communists are still there, still conducting the same thing. In case of Czechoslovak military espionage, these files were never declassified. These people are still operational abroad, conducting subversion operations, and all of this is involved. And none of these files were ever published in all these Eastern European countries. So the perestroika, the so-called glasnost, what Gorbachev was spreading around, never happened.
So you think the KGB was never dissolved?
It was never dissolved. It was just renamed. It was never dissolved. No, it didn't happen.
Is the new name the Federal Security Bureau?
That's it, yeah, FSB.
Uh-huh.
But there was some... information that some of these files were transferred to the military section, which is called GRU, and so these officers were transferred just so that Russians can show, you know, some of the changes that were totally cosmetic, was just for our consumption, and so they made some files available. But there was research done about how much of the secrets were basically published, and it's interesting that. Since we know that the long-range plan, the long-range policy that was set up in 1956 by Khrushchev, from the year, and then they implemented, it took like 2 years to implement it, until 1958, and it was fully operational. These files were never declassified, and there's no way that you can actually access the archives over there in Moscow. From that year on till now, they are off limits totally. So they only supply, they only let you take a look at the Stalin files, and some of them are actually being classified. So not all of the files that were available in like the beginning of the 90s. Available today, so Russia is still secretive, and that's very much concern to me.
Okay, so we have a federal Bureau of Investigation. Now Russia has the Federal Security Bureau. Isn't that amazing?
Well,
I mean, our FBI is how do I put it? Very suspicious in a lot of actions too. But our situation in this point in time is that we're led to believe that Russia is not a threat to us, that communist China is not a threat to us. Do you think Russia and China have been allied for all these years, to take down this country?
Absolutely. It's one communist bloc. As a matter of fact, this was published by and analyzed very well by KGB defector Anatoly Golitsyn in his first book, New Lies for Old. This was never understood by the Western analysts because it was really, they didn't grasp the reality of how the communist services and communist countries are at work. But Golitsyn pointed out very correctly was that since the Sino-Soviet split, so-called split, there were still Russian-Chinese meetings and various delegations exchanges, and China Chinese delegation was present in all Communist Party of Soviet Union congresses and conventions, and vice versa. So if there was a split, how come these people were still meeting and cooperating? It was all designed back then to show China as sort of acceptable communist country to us, and then of course the Nixon government was oriented towards China a little more, and then the Bhutan came in. But this was all proposed by or the major proponent of this was Henry Kissinger back then, and there was some interesting data on Henry Kissinger.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Henry Kissinger, a real piece of work. That's a boondoggle in itself. Now, listeners, Hans will be with us tomorrow night as well. At the bottom of the hour, I believe a friend of mine is going to call in and ask you some questions. Certainly, I hope he does. This is very, very interesting, the questions he will ask you. The convergence of these countries. And Costco ports, China Ocean Shipping Company, all over the country, on the eastern ports, on the western ports, we have products made in communist China on our shelves. My question to you is, why would China want to attack us and Russia want to attack us when they're making so much money off us economically?
Well, that's basically a question about the communist intentions. Communists don't care about profit. Never will, never have. That will never happen. They care about the power they have over the people. Since their ideology and their system of government is totally criminal, based on murder, oppression, and tyranny, these people use only this kind of business cooperation with America for the strategic purposes. Therefore, they're using the money they get from us for the cheap labor, which is basically slave labor in China, they use it for their military buildup, and that's very well documented. You can pick any book from Bill Gates. There are several books about this, a lot of data, what the Chinese are up to. They're increasing their military strength with the help of Russia. Russia sells China over 50% of the Russian export, the weapons export, it all goes to China. So it's the misunderstanding of the communist ideology and communist intentions and strategy that brings us into trusting these communists, which is totally flawed, and we should reassess the situation and stop dealing with them, basically.
Hans, keep your thoughts in place, and hopefully I'll get this phone call from my friend, and we'll continue with this interview tonight. We're with Hans and Molina. His website is theanticommunist.com, theanticommunistanalyst.com. That's theanticommunistanalyst.com. We'll be back to continue the broadcast. Stay with me.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Who are you? That is the question, and the name of the program. To learn what the question means and what the answers are, tune in every Sunday afternoon and Rice McLeod will give you the answers. Who are you? Check the schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for broadcast times. We'll see you then.
Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner with Hans Molina, and his website, once again, people, which will be a policy website or a partner website to ours, is theanticommunistanalyst.com, theanticommunistanalyst.com. And Hans, we have Ronnie with us. Ronnie, are you there?
I'm here. How are y'all doing?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Okay. I had a question. For your guest, basically, a lot of people I know, are finding, ladies from the former Soviet Union that want to immigrate, are looking for husbands. Do you know anything about that subject matter? Most of them seem to be fairly decent individuals, that have pretty good family values.
Well, I'm not too much knowledgeable about the people, but over there, except the government. But I can tell you that since you are an American and these people are very much interested in sending their own spies to the United States and become respectable people and conduct espionage, I would be very careful to be in contact with anybody from Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any understanding of statistically,
eyes
they sent? Were most of them men, most of them women, or?
Well, it was done. I know about it. There were Russian prostitutes sent to America, to Eastern Europe, to Western Europe, gathering, compromising their own various people. There were people that I know about a case where a Russian woman got married and then she left her husband and she was involved in some clandestine things. There was a Polish woman in Los Angeles that came here to the United States and there was some very interesting stuff happening around her husband. She got married to a respectable person. There was a case of criminal investigation, actually, and that she was trying to poison her husband and leave and use his Social Security to bring in more spies. This is not... these situations exist. It's not a joke. It's a serious business. So I would look for where these people come from. If they speak English very well, that's very interesting, because normally English was not taught over there. So, and how they conduct themselves, if they were able to study colleges during the communist era, if they had prominent parents, if they secretive about their past, about their family, I would ask all of this, then you can pretty much see if these are ordinary people or not.
In other words, those that are intelligent, that speak several languages, that are doctors, could very well be educated by the state and maybe agents for the state?
Absolutely. That's the case. That's absolutely true. It's not... during the communist era, ordinary people, like myself, I couldn't go to study to college. There were several places that I couldn't really go because of my background. I studied civil engineering on a high school. That was it. That's my education. And I couldn't even dream about going to college because I would get accepted. But, all these people that now claim to be dissidents and they're involved in various institutes, I know about several of them in Eastern Europe, in Czech Republic, for example. These people had all studies. They studied during communist era. They were involved in various organizations that were staffed with communist cadres only. It's basically intelligence network, and they supply the deception to the West through these contacts. I know of an institute in Prague, in Czech Republic, that has contacts to Frank Gaffney, to Richard Perle, Roger Robinson from the Reagan administration, Richard Allen. As a matter of fact, this institute conducted a seminar in 2000 with these people present, and when they came back, none of these people speaks about the false collapse of communism. So there's something very seriously going on over there. So of course, when you do research, you find out that all these people were somehow tied to either political parties that run Czech Republic today, and to Czech government and all these people. So I would be very careful and watch for people that can speak English very well over there, have really knowledge of the West, because these espionage cadres were always prepared, and they knew all substantial amount of information about the United States, which is normally off limits to ordinary people. They have no idea how it goes over here, so that's another bad sign. So there's several things that you have to look for.
Well, I was when I was looking into this information, from what I understood, most children in high school were taught probably 4 years of English at least. Of course, they wouldn't be real proficient in it at that level, but that was a little different than what I'd heard.
Well, let me put it this way, and if this is known fact, during the communist era, the KGB had an entire directorate called illegals. These people were they were living in special place in Soviet Union. They were trained in English. They were living in a village that was constructed basically the same way as we have villages here in towns in America. They had shops the same way. It was all prepared so precisely, and they were speaking only in English. They were training these people to live in the United States, to speak the language's perfect accent, and they were training them for the subversion operations. And so the long-term sleepers, this is nothing new. They were all sent to Canada and America to conduct these clandestine operations. And of course, Western Europe and also in Eastern Europe, they were also involved over there too. So
thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I see here for this, from the Center for Security Policy, apparently, a visioning thing is the title of this. At Malta, President Bush announced, and I'm coming from Hans's website, thecommunistanalyst.com. At Malta, the President Bush announced the beginning of a new relationship with the Soviet Union, but simply, the President has decided that, especially in light of the role attributed to Gorbachev in facilitating the present reforms in Eastern Europe, assisting the Soviet leader and his domestic and international agenda will be the guiding purpose of the U.S.-Soviet relations. Isn't that interesting, Hansa?
Yeah, that's why I posted it in there. There's a couple things I linked it to. I did research last night a little bit, and I was interested, the Center of Strategic Studies, that's Frank Gaffney, he's the he runs that institute, and I was interested what Mr. Gaffney is saying. He had some really interesting insight back then, but there's the fundamental thing about communism, about cooperation with communism, is that it's wrong. It's principally wrong. These people are criminals. They murdered over 100 million people throughout the history of communism. These are the same people. They value only their power over people. That's all they are interested in. We should not sign anything with them at all. What we signed was totally wrong, and it was a mistake. There were several advisors to President Bush, namely Franz Kolkraft, that pushed Condoleezza Rice into the White House, and Franz Kolkraft was put in place by General Haig. General Haig was promoted by Henry Kissinger, so it goes all the way back to Henry Kissinger again. And these kind of advisors, when they work in as national security advisors, all the data goes to them, and they can, if they are not working for America properly, they can advise American presidents to do these kind of mistakes. I think that it all started with the Reagan administration, and to start any kind of talks with the Soviet Union back then was a mistake. We should have never start any of that. And the aftermath we can see today, what I stated before about Russia selling missiles and preparing, it's not only that, but Chris, they're building new state-of-the-art weapons. I mean, one of them is SS-27 missile. We don't have anything against it that can shoot it down. This missile can carry 6 to 10 warheads. And the Russians have a mobile version of this kind of missile. It's highly destructible. It can destroy our country, basically. We can't shoot it down with lasers. It's supersonic. The vehicle is it's highly advanced. And of course, there are nuclear bunkers built in Russia. There's 200, over 200 underground nuclear production sites, including the Yamantau Mountain and the Voronovo near Moscow. This was published by Bill Gates from the Washington Times. Satellite pictures were released. And our so-called analysts don't understand why Russians are building it. Because, of course, they were claiming during the Clinton administration era that they don't have no money. How come they were able to build these expensive nuclear bunkers? These are the size, the Yamantau Mountain in the Urals, it's the size of Washington, D.C. That's how huge the complex is. It's 1,000 feet underground, equipped with food. They can house it. The complex can house over just about 60,000 personnel, all military. It's a major production site. They're preparing for war. This is clear and obvious assessment.
something with these people that we shouldn't, and the aftermath is what these people are doing right now, and they are all communists. They hate us beyond belief, so we should better watch out.
Now, Hans, I'm seeing in the Oklahoman dated May 9th, 60th anniversary, the world marks the fall of Nazi Germany. And here we see President Bush speaking about this, the Russia's VE Day, and they attribute a lot of print space in the newspaper about this. And Margarita Kremer, 60, a Moscow teacher, watching a procession toward Berlusconi Station, she says, "I'm overwhelmed with gratitude, pride, and love for my motherland and the veterans." So we're getting fed information about, you know, Russia having eliminated Nazi Germany with our country, the big evil Nazi Germany, and here we're looking at Russian remembrance of World War II. What are your thoughts about this, and is this propaganda?
Well, Russians are pretending that they're masters of deceit, so they're pretending how friendly they are. They've always did that. They're using the old Chinese military strategy called Sun Tzu. That means when it says when you're strong, pretend to be weak, or when you're weak, pretend to be strong, and lure your enemy into deception. And it says all warfare is based on deception. We are clearly falling for their game. Russians, how should I put it? They are masters of the chess game. So in chess, you have to predict the opponent's moves, and so you have to know what the opponent will do, and try to set up a strategy how to defeat them. The same thing could be applied to Russian strategy. They will not spare any energy, they will not spare any resources to show us how friendly they are, that the Russian military is in shambles. That's total nonsense. They will just show us how they want to fight the terrorism. There was a, for example, about terrorism, if I may. Russians are supplying to KGB officers, they are supplying terrorist networks. So does the Czech Republic. So just to give you an idea how serious this is, there's a book written by British terrorism expert Simon Reeve called The New Jackals. It's about Osama bin Laden. It's quoted on page 216 that the Czech Republic, based on the intelligence source, British intelligence source, that had access to Egyptian interrogation documents of Al-Qaeda members, that were these members of Al-Qaeda were operating from Albania. They revealed that Czech Republic sold them samples of highly dangerous biological weapons-grade anthrax and the biological agent botulism. I'm sorry. And they sold them samples of it from a lab that the Czech government lied. And this happened in 1995. There was a small scandal in Czech Republic. The Czech government lied that this military research and production site was already closed in 1990. So it was a scandal, but nobody's watching for these things. Anything that these people produce in their media should be watched and questioned why they're doing it, and we should analyze it in light of the Russian strategy against America, because they are communists. These people are communists. They want us out of they want us out of the way so they can win and control the world. That strategy never changed.
I see. Now, there was a Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. I've quoted a book in cold blood by the he was part of the government of Afghanistan. He wrote the book, and I don't have it with me here, but I read it on the air, actually. And he was stating in his book that the Russians gratefully built roads and bridges, very strong bridges, and our Army Corps of Engineers, actually, from this country, built the roads east to west in Afghanistan, and the Russians built the roads north to south in Afghanistan. This is back in the early 70s and in the 60s. They gratefully increased the road travel for the Afghan people. But then in 1979, the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, and they turned out, after a period of 10 years, they stated that that was their Vietnam. The Afghanistan was Russia's Vietnam, and Russia lost that war. Is that really what happened?
No, absolutely not. That's another deception. That's laughable. I mean, even as a matter of logic, I mean, that doesn't make sense. How can the Red Army, highly trained, equipped with nuclear weapons, how can the Red Army lose against horseback riders? I mean, that doesn't make sense. If you remember, Taliban and Osama bin Laden, they were based out of Afghanistan.
Yes.
It was not difficult for Moscow to set up clandestine operations and recruit people in Afghanistan, and then withdrew so Russia wouldn't be seen as behind the terrorist networks. And Russia could claim that they have nothing to do with terrorism. Just totally false. There are several people that were involved with the Soviet Union, the leaders of the Mujahideen that were actually born in the Soviet Union. Some of them, some parts of the Mujahideen movement. So Russians infiltrated both sides. They and then they withdrew, which was totally surprising. I mean, that was just something that would normally wouldn't happen. The reason that there's also a question about why was it that Russians invaded Afghanistan? What was in there? What was so important about Afghanistan that they invaded it? There's nothing in there. It's just mountains and desert, and there's no oil, there's nothing of value in Afghanistan. Why was it that they invaded Afghanistan? The only reason why they invaded Afghanistan was to set up these networks, put these people in charge, that they control these agents, and then they withdrew, and now they could claim, well, we had nothing to do with it, if somebody raised the question about Russian involvement in terrorism. But, see, Russians and all these communist countries, they train terrorists. I had a meeting, and this is a bombshell, I reported it to the FBI. I had a meeting with a Czech intelligence officer. He's no longer working for the Czech intelligence. They forced him out. And during this meeting, he revealed to me in front of a witness that Mohammed Atta, the 9/11 hijacker, was in fact recruited and trained by Czechoslovak communist espionage and trained in 1988 in a very well-known terrorist training camp in Czechoslovakia. The training took over 18 months, but they had to cut it short because of the so-called collapse of communism. There was a military training ground nearby, and I have a witness that actually, in fact, served in that military base, and he saw bus with painted windows and people with looking sort of Middle Eastern with darker faces stepping outside the bus, and the entire base was sent outside to training maneuvers, and so they only had a small amount of troops left for the basic services in the base, but he was one that was on guard duty, so he saw these people stepping outside the bus, and they were trained with firearms, they were trained to use explosives, and all these techniques. So Czechoslovakia trained these people, and Russia, of course, and Poland, and Hungary, and all these countries, Bulgaria, and none of these files about the training of terrorists were ever declassified and published. So
you think we have a presence in Afghanistan as a certainly as a result of this quote unquote terrorist attack on the World Trade Center in 1991, September 11th? And immediately, what did we do? We invaded Afghanistan because of Osama bin Laden. Why do you think that happened?
Well, I think we were the situation in Afghanistan. We were not the Taliban, which was the reaction that that was probably one of the reasons why Russians choose Afghanistan, because there's nothing of value over there. So the only thing you would do is chase people in the mountains. There wouldn't be oil. There wouldn't be anything of that. Just totally different case. But still, it's the military strategy. They wanted to create several targets for us and take our military and basically force us to use our military forces in these conflicts. So we wouldn't watch our back door over here. So we are fighting basically two wars, one in Iraq, one in Afghanistan, and we have all these troops around the world, and they have all base over here in America open, or the door is open for them to attack us. This is pretty simple strategy, but we don't really watch our back door, and we trust people that we shouldn't be trusting.
Well, listen, we're completed with our hour here, and you'll be back tomorrow night, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I'll certainly look forward to that, Hansa. And once again, listeners, this is Hansa Molina, and the anticommunistanalyst.com is the website. The anticommunistanalyst.com, that's the website, and you'll learn about, quote, or quite a few things, people, and this is the situation that we have today. We are being deceived and directed, and we're blessed to have someone like Hansa to come on. And Hansa, we'll look forward to tomorrow night, okay?
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Give me a call after the show, would you?
Yeah, I will.
Call me right away. Okay, listeners, that's it for now. We'll keep doing the best we can for our country. You go to AmericanExpose.com and look at Dennis's excellent research on
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government-printed currency is not. Call Melody Cedarstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.